We've been talking about how to follow Jesus. This series is really about how to follow Jesus, and it's based out of the Great Commission. Everybody knows it. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And that is the Great Commission. And that's what we're commissioned to do as a church. That's what we're commissioned to do as a family. That's what we're commissioned to do as an individual. And thank God for the church. I tell you, I'm so thankful to be a part of a local church like this. You know, after being here coming up on 25 years, you can forget really what you're a part of. You can forget the value of being a part of a local church that is not perfect, but that has done things right and has integrity and moral purity and just a passion to build the church, not a platform. And that's a big deal. You know that? It really is a big deal. And so I'm thankful to be a part of Northwood Church. You know, as I was watching these baptisms, there's something circulating around with pastors across the world. It's just a reminder. I'm going to read this to you because it kind of plays into kind of where we are and the fortunate thing that we have as a church right now in America. And this is a baptism questionnaire from a church in South Asia. And it kind of puts things in perspective. So it's a questionnaire they have to fill out before they get baptized. This is not a lot of biblical requirements, but this is their questionnaire. And it says this: "Are you willing to leave home and lose the blessing of your father?" Question number one. Number two, are you willing to lose your job? The next question, this is what they fill out before. This is their baptism form, everybody. Are you willing to go to the village and those who persecute you and forgive them and then share Christ with them? Are you willing to give an offering to the Lord? Are you willing to be beaten rather than to deny your faith? Are you willing to go to prison? And the last question, are you willing to die for Jesus? Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Just let that resonate for a minute. You know, our question, and praise God, you know, we ask how many seats you need us to save for you. And that's wonderful. I think it's great. You know, when you think about the Great Commission, you got to think about making disciples. And we've said it week after week, a disciple of Jesus is a disciplined follower and student and apprentice of Jesus. He's the great rabbi, right? He's the great teacher. All we do here as teachers and communicators of the gospel and Christians, we just try to point people to the greatest teacher of all kind, of all time. His name's Jesus. He's the Messiah. And that's what we're going to continue to try to do today. And we're using the illustration of six different phases of human development to try to correlate our spiritual maturation process as we walk with the Lord time and time and time again. And as time lapses, we should be maturing. And we started out with people who were outside of the covenant promises of God and alienated from that, lost, if you would. And then we talked about being an infant, a newborn babe in Christ. And then we went from infant to child. And today we're going to be talking about young adults. Now, when you think about natural human development, in every single one of these phases, there's milestones, if you would, that kind of is an indicator if we're growing properly, right? You know, Pastor Jordan talked about it last week. You know, there's a time where English kicks in and we start to communicate. That's a little inside joke, by the way. I'll share it with you. You know, we're hanging out. You know, I asked Pastor Jordan, I think it was with Elin, maybe it was with Ariana, maybe with Elin, and I was like, "Hey, guys, when does English kick in for this little one?" And they're like, "You're crazy." Anyways, when English kicks in and they begin to walk in, and a lot of times there's indicators when you bring them to the pediatrician and they do the test, and if there's something wrong and they're not growing properly, they begin to do a further evaluation. And how much more greater should we be evaluating our life in the light of the gospel and in the light of the word of God, with the Holy Spirit illuminating that for us in our growth process? And so we're going to see some things about a young adult today. Again, we want to remind you, even though this is a linear type system set up, it's really holistic, meaning, you know, you might have been serving the Lord for many, many years, and you're still acting like a child, and we do that. And then some of you haven't been serving the Lord very long, and you're doing some things that maybe more of a mature believer would be doing. And I will say it like this. It really doesn't matter what phase you're in. Like, you can be spiritually mature, by the way, and then the Holy Spirit convicts you and says, you've been getting complacent in some things. Go back and do what you did in the beginning when you first got saved. I've had to do that. My faith has become cynical at times, and you know what I mean? Praying many, many thousands of prayers and praying for people, you begin to get a little bit cynical, and sometimes even though I might be more mature in my faith, I have definitely not arrived anywhere by no means, but at the end of the day, the Lord has convicted me at times. Casey, go back and believe. Go back and have that childlike faith again, and so you might find yourself there as well, which is a beautiful place to be with the Lord working in your life. But it's holistic in nature. And you know, when you think about spiritual maturity, especially as a young adult in this phase, right? You went from infant to child, and now you're a young adult. So you've been kind of walking with the Lord a little bit, and now since the conception of your faith, and now you're living a life of faith, how many know that trials come to test that faith? And I really don't believe, and I'm not saying this is an absolute statement, it's just a statement that I was thinking about when I was preparing for today's message, and I said, you can't be spiritually mature without testing. And in many instances, testing will take time, meaning the testing of your faith. James talks about it in verse 2, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, at this phase in your walk with the Lord, you're already encountering trials of various kinds, all kinds of trials. Verse 3, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Another version says perseverance. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. I've seen over the years so many people who start their walk with God when their faith begins to be tested by trials of various kinds. It's in those critical moments that you have a decision to make, which is to hold on to the confession of your faith, no matter what your mind's saying, we just sang it, no matter what's going on around you, doesn't matter if people are falling to the left and to the right, if your world seems to be crumbling, that's the moment where you say, I'm gonna stand in just a little bit of faith that I have, and that's enough. And that's how you mature, in that perseverance. Those trials will test you and prepare you ultimately for perfection in heaven. But here on earth, that steadfastness, that perseverance is going to lead to spiritual maturity and character transformation. And that's how we grow. And there's no shortcut around that. There's no shortcut to character transformation. And character transformation is painful. And so you have to embrace that pain. You have to embrace that suffering with the Lord, and you will grow, and you'll look back, and you'll be able to help others. Because the Holy Spirit's the agent of change. You know, as a spiritual young adult, you're a person who's learning to make disciples. I just said it. As you begin to be steadfast in your faith, you're learning to help others remain steadfast. You're able to help others and point them to Jesus and show them the way to go. So a spiritual young adult is a person who's learning to make disciples. learning to make followers of Jesus, learning to help people along in their journey. Think about young adults with me just for a moment. You know, as a young adult, you know, you're probably in college or graduating from college or are getting married and paying bills. Come on, somebody. Paying bills. Those moms out there are like, yeah, praise God. They're going to really appreciate me once they start paying those bills. They don't know what good a mom you are yet, but they're going to know. Right? Paying those bills, right? Going to work every day and taking on responsibilities that otherwise they wouldn't be taking on. And if they're not, right, if the young adults are not doing that, we typically say they got a problem. Something's going on in the home. Where's that young adult at? They need to be launching everybody. Sometimes parents just don't want to launch them. Anyways. But it's the same with a spiritual young adult, right? Just like the natural development phase, they're taking on more commitments, like deepening their faith and actively serving in a faith community like this one and discerning the call on their life to be a participant of the Great Commission. And that's what they're doing. We said it this way, as spiritual young adults are learning to sacrifice their lives for the sake of the gospel, co-laboring with Jesus to build his kingdom. Now again, we're gonna keep saying it, no matter what phase you're in, we have to redirect ourselves to this statement right here. We're learning to sacrifice our lives for the sake of the gospel, co-laboring with Jesus to build his kingdom. And let me tell you something, and for those of you who have been following the Lord for quite some time, that is repeated over and over and over and over and over again. It is. I recommit all the time. Lord, I'm reminded my life does not belong to me. It belongs to you. And I'm willingly going to lay it down for the sake of the gospel. I reminded myself again in worship right there. And so this thing right here is perpetual. You know, we've got a little story we want to share in the Bible, in the New Testament, with a guy named Peter. And in context, Peter, Jesus was you know, in a kangaroo court, basically, and he was on his way to be crucified. And he had met with Peter, and Peter was pretty zealous. And he was an extreme guy, and he told Jesus, hey, Jesus, I'll follow you no matter what. You know what I mean? I will sacrifice my life for the sake of the gospel no matter what. He was fired up, everybody, you know what I mean? He had been born again. He's like, I'm going to do this thing called the Great Commission. And Jesus looked at him in the eyes. I could imagine Jesus looking at me in the eyes. And he said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. You know, that would be a good practice for someone who thinks really excited. Say, you're probably going to deny the Lord in the next year. You seem pretty excited today. Just get ready, get ready, get ready. And Peter didn't believe it. You know what I mean? He was like, nah, man, there's no way that I'm going to do that. Well, he did, everybody. You can read the story. He denied Jesus. And when he denied Jesus, he remembered the prophetic word that Jesus spoke over, that spoke into his life. He remembered those words of Jesus. And the scripture says, essentially, he was heartbroken. And everybody kind of scattered at that time, you know what I mean? Because Jesus was being crucified. He was heartbroken because it came true. And but, you know, we can be heartbroken. We can make mistakes. But how many of you know Jesus is not through with us? Come on. Jesus is not through with us. You know, one thing that we learn in this phase as a spiritual, as a young adult, is that God's love is unconditional, even though our love is conditional. Huge point. And so Jesus, he encountered Peter on the beach, and this is after the denial. And we're going to pick up that story in John chapter 21, verse 15. And it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Like, do you love me more than these disciples? I love Peter. You know what he said? Yes, Lord. Absolutely. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to them, then feed my lambs. He said, feed my lambs. Verse 16, and he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And the third time, now we know Peter denied Jesus three times, and he's like, now, Peter, are you sure this time? Now watch Peter's response. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And this is what Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. And I think that's a real good point to say. Basically, you told me that I was going to deny you back then. Go ahead and tell me now if it's going to happen again. You know what I mean? You already knew everything. You're asking me a third time, Lord, hey, you know everything, but here I am. You know what I mean? Just tell me. Tell me like it is, you know? I think I'm surrendered, but you know all things. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus knows exactly where you are. He knows you better than yourself. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in our life. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, he said, now let me speak over your life, Peter. You want to know? I know everything. You want to know? Verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death Peter was going to glorify God. Peter became a martyr. And after saying this to him, he said, follow me. So much gravity there. So powerful. You know, God's unconditional love for Peter is demonstrated right here. You know, the early apostles said that they consider themselves unworthy to die a death like Christ died. How many of you know that takes a deep revelation and a deep commitment of knowing who you are, whose you belong to, and where you're going? I think that if we had a glimpse of eternity today, everything would change. The word gives us a glimpse, but I think when that revelation is made real to us as individuals, everything changes in our life. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to do that for us. Because I can't manufacture that in myself. You're like, Pastor, that's real good. Tell me how to do that. I can't tell you how to do it. What I can tell you is surrender your entire life and the Lord will show you the way, just like he showed Peter the way. He told Peter, I tell you what, feed my sheep. We know sheep is symbolic to God's people. And he said, pray and guide my sheep, Peter. He basically, if you love me, follow me. I'll show you what kind of death you're going to die to glorify me. But on your way to that death, I want you to pray and guide my people. I want you to teach and train my people. I want you to care and protect my people. Feed my sheep. And though we're not the Apostle Peter, right? And I'm not sure if you're going to die a martyr or not. But I can tell you this, the same command, the same, I call it a command, it's the same privilege that we have to co-labor with God to build his kingdom is available to you. I would say this, he would speak to you today, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Build my kingdom. And at this phase in the discipleship process as a young adult, it starts to become less about you and more about others. It becomes more about God's calling than it is in the early phases when you're just learning things, where you're just trying to soak it up. And by the way, even when you first get saved, you can start this immediately. I did. I was doing this all day, every day, from the day that I got saved, literally all day, every day. And even though I still wasn't spiritually mature, I hadn't been tested yet. I was a novice. But this right here, do you love me? Feed my sheep. This is for you, young adults. This is for you, grandparent. Feed my sheep. So how do we know if you or someone else is a spiritual young adult? There's a guy named Jim Putman, and we're using some of his study, and this is what he said. You will see spiritual infants and children get involved in ministry, but they usually only serve as long as the personal benefit to them outweighs the cost. A young adult will serve for the glory of God and the good of others, even if it takes them out of their comfort zone. Really, what that describes is sacrificial service. You're not going to get anything out of it. You know, what I've found, here's what you will get out of it, and this is what I found. Through sacrificial service, nobody sees this. There's not a reward for this. There's not a stamp of approval, you know what I mean? Now, people affirm other people and honor people. We just did that. But this right here is unseen. People don't see this. You know what that sacrificial service does? When you're alone with the Lord, the Lord affirms you in the inner man and woman and does something on the inside of you that it's something special. It's something that you can't buy with money. It's something that you can't get with from other people. It only comes through from the Lord when you're operating in ministry. It's spiritual, and what it is a spiritual affirmation that you're doing the will of God, and God confirms that in you, and it's gasoline in the tank, and it'll cause you to have power to continue to sacrifice again and again and again for His glory. This is what you're learning as a spiritual young adult right here, and may I say, the shoe fits, wear it. You know, I like these things right here, some things that you might hear a young adult say. I enjoyed those last week, Pastor Jordan. Here's some things you'd hear him say. I love my small group. I wonder if I can help the leader out anyway and possibly lead next semester or be a part of that team. Here's one, a family member on my team here. By the way, if you're visiting here with us today, we're so glad that you're here and that you came out to Northwood Church. We're honored that you're here today. We do teams and we do groups. And family on my team is sick this week. I'll take a meal and pray for them. And, oh, here's a little blurb right by that. And not post it on Facebook. Instagram, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, going back to the phase before. No, I'm just kidding. How about this one? This service is so full, we need to add another one. That's awesome. We only have about 20% of the room that's a spiritual young adult based on that. I came across something in my devotion. This is something else. I came across something in my devotion that I had a question about. So I looked up the commentary in my study Bible. I opened up my Bible dictionary, and then I watched a previous sermon that my pastor taught. And then I prayed like Peter, Lord, you know all things. Spiritual young adults actively learn and pursue spiritual growth, serve others, and help others take their next steps. And again, guys, you know, as we're going through phase to phase, there's not a perfect fit. You know that. I mean, there's not perfect things in every category. We're just, hey, these are some indicators that we're spiritually maturing, right? Actively pursuing spiritual growth. You know, in the stage as a young adult, you're actively pursuing, and I'm going to say this word and I'll give you some context, autonomously. You're actively pursuing growth autonomously, but with the help of the corporate body, meaning you're actively pursuing growth outside of a Sunday morning service, right? Outside of a small group setting because you're hungry. And you say, God, there's more. I need to know more of you. Lord, I'm depending upon your word. It's like a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. With my own thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to go the right direction. Lord, I desperately need you, and I need you to reveal your word to me. God, I need you to direct my path. God, I need your will to be done in my life. These are good things and indicators that I'm growing and maturing in my faith. So what does a spiritual young adult learn in this phase? Now get ready, it's gonna be good. We use Philippians chapter 2. These are some things that we learn in this phase. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Here comes verse 2. Then, because of that, complete my joy. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let's break that down a little bit. What Paul is saying there is in this covenant community, the church, if you would, in this covenant community, we're going to experience encouragement. We're going to experience comfort. He said participation. That word basically means fellowship. We're going to have fellowship with one another, and we're going to have affection and sympathy, and all because of Christ, by the way. And he said, because of that, this is what a young adult's going to learn. This is what someone who's spiritually maturing is going to learn. They're going to learn unity instead of division. They're going to be, you have to learn that, by the way. You know how you learn it? When friction starts happening in the covenant community. Think about all you people who just got married last year. You're going to learn unity instead of division. Another thing you're going to learn servant leadership instead of selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. You know, a characteristic of a child in the discipleship process would be things like, hey, I want a title. I need them to notice me. How could that person begin to sing on the platform when I have been in the infused process for a lot longer than they? And by the way, I think I sing much better than they sing. Man. But you know what? You know what servant leadership says? I dying to myself, and I'm serving everyone as unto the Lord, not to me, not for my gratification, not for a platform, not for a title, not for a spotlight, but for the Lord. I serve the Lord Christ. I do everything for the glory of God, not the glory of men. And you'll go through that temptation in that process, and that's a good temptation, by the way. Receive it and know that, oh, I'm being tempted here. Critical moment for you to grow. Humility instead of pride is learned in this phase. Forbearance with one another versus gossip. When someone rubs you the wrong way and you deal with it between you and the Lord, sometimes you need to go deal with it one-on-one, and that's a mature thing to do. But instead of dealing with it between you and the Lord or dealing with it one-on-one, you just walk around, can you believe that? They did this and they did that, and you know what? She said that and she said that, and you go from one person to the next person to the next person, and you're not forbearing at all. You're acting like a child. And a child needs discipline and correction because that actually equals love. Did you know that the Bible says that he disciplines those he loves? It's a hallmark that we're a son or a daughter of God. It's like a sign, Lord, thank you for your discipline. Because how many of you know that gossip actually hurts you, but forbearance helps you? It's not only for God's glory, it's for your good. And that's how much God loves you. It's good to be corrected by the Lord, by the word of God, and by those who are spiritually mature, because it's able to change your life and set you on a better course, everybody. Forgiveness instead of offense. These are the things we learn in this phase and continue to learn. So what does a spiritual young adult need? What does a young adult need from a covenant community like this one? What does a young adult need for those who are a little bit further in their journey? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 kind of lays it out there, talking about the scripture here. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So number one, they need a place where the presence of God can reprove them and guide them in their daily choices. It's one of the reasons we create environments where the word of God is taught, so that we can be reproved, so that the word can rebuke us, so that the word can have a work on the inside of us and gently guide us and move us to the left and to the right. We need a place like that. Number two, they need leadership that loves them and is willing to correct them in truth and love as they mature. That's what they need. This is a tough one because all of us are responsible for this, but we become derelict in our duties because of fear. Let's just face it, fear. Scared what they're gonna think. It's not about correcting their behavior, it's about loving them and saying, hey, how can I help you? Man, let me pray for you. What's going on in your life? Man, let me share the word with you. Man, this might not be the way the Lord is leading you. Have you thought about that? How many wish somebody would do that in your life? Okay, we got one person. Let's move on. That's the problem, everybody. I'm telling you. Listen, I don't like it either. You know what I mean? But if I know the motivation is coming from love, if I really believe I'm in a covenant community and this person loves me, then I'm going to accept it and embrace it and have a conversation about it. Come on. They need sound doctrine to teach and train them to live out the calling of Christ on their lives. We work to do that diligently. Last, they need to be encouraged to do good works. They need to be encouraged to do good works. Sometimes you need somebody to call you out and say, I see potential in you. Have you thought about this on the job? I see a gift operating in your life. How are you using that for Jesus? Man, what would that look like in your business? What would that look like in your community? What would that look like at the soccer fields this weekend? Right? What would that look like in the school? Have you prayed about that? Have you thought about that? Have you considered that? God uses people to help mine out the gifts and the callings that are in our life. And man, it's a beautiful thing the way God does that. These are some things that a young adult needs. So we're going to get down to our last section here today, which is, what is my next step if I'm a spiritual young adult? What's my next step? I like this scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Think about Peter. He said, look, you denied me. Your perception was like a child, but today there's a demarcation in your spiritual journey. Follow me. I don't think Peter was at a place to receive a prophetic word on the way he was going to be martyred several months before, whenever the timeline is. There comes a place in our life where we're giving up childish ways and taking our next steps in the kingdom. Now, here at Northwood Church, you know, we're building the kingdom in our context, in our community here. And so we've got some next steps you can take here as a spiritual young adult. I took them. You know, one, and I'm going to get into these, one piece of advice that I was given when I first got saved from my father-in-law, he said, Casey, here's what I encourage you to do. Every time the doors open to the local church, be there, and you're going to grow. You know what I did? Yes, sir. You know why? Because I wanted to grow. But you also know why? He who has been forgiven of much loves much. I realized where I was spiritually dead. And because of that revelation, nothing else mattered anymore in life. It literally was Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and there was nothing going to get in my way of that. And so I did. I came into the church. Every time the doors was open, here's a next step for you. Ask your group leader about taking on more responsibility in your group. This is something you can do this week. I want to give you some real practical steps. I did these things. My first job, if you would, or my first assignment in the local church, we had one auditorium. We'd have four locations. Right here, this building behind us, building number two, there's a little side door there. It's the kids' check-in. A lot of you have kids know that door. It was a single glass door at the time, and we didn't have kids' check-in stations. That was the main auditorium. And my job, we had Wednesday night service every week, and my job was to open that door. And let me tell you something, I opened that door. Matter of fact, I stood at the door, and right before you got there, I'd open that baby like that. I mean, I'm sure people are like, this guy's strange. Full suit on, I'd open that door, and you could feel the wind hitting my face, and I said, welcome to church, everybody. And I did, there's nothing special about me. I did that with so much fervor and so much passion because I was once lost and now I'm found. Number two, ask your team leader about taking more responsibility on your team. Get trained to be a team captain. Become a trainee in your group. Lead groups. Feed my sheep. Number three, sign up for the next leadership track. We have one coming up in spring. We're finishing one right now. We wrote some curriculum, and it's the first edition. We're going to make some edits for next time. Be ready for that. We're building the kingdom here. This is the final scripture I'm going to read today, and it's so beautiful. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And calling to the crowd, this is Jesus, and calling to the crowd, And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it."